The Speaker of the Nova Scotia House of Assembly grants permission to record the televised proceedings of the legislature for use in schools and for other purposes, such as private study, research, review, or newspaper summary. Television and radio broadcasters may make use of recorded excerpts of the televised proceedings in their news or public affairs programs for the purpose of fair and accurate reports of proceedings. Program material may not be used for political party advertising, election campaigns, or any other politically partisan activity. Program material may not be edited for use in promotional material by any political party or other organization, and may not be used in any edited form that could mislead or misinform an audience or viewer, or which does not present a balanced portrayal of the proceedings in the House. Video program material may only be used with its original audio components, and no other audio material may be added to video material used. Any other commercial use or rebroadcast of these proceedings requires the express written approval of the Speaker.
Scottish activities. Their first event of the year was a traditional Robbie Burns supper and dance with all of the pomp and circumstance that would be found at a Burns supper in Scotland. The event was held at the Best Western Glengarry in Truro and was open to anyone interested with descended from the Scots, felt Scottish, or just had an interest in Scottish culture and heritage.
The Honourable Member for Lunenburg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today, I'd like to recognize students of the Grade 4 class at Centre Scolaire de Rivesud. Students of the class, including Jane Jacobs, Lily Weil, Sophie Oikle, Leslie Stimmy, Chloe Kowalski, and Jade Conrad, recently donated $1,000 to Shade Animal Shelter. The students got together one day and pooled some leftover change to start the fund. Eventually, it grew to a modest $50, big money for Grade 4 students. A bake sale followed after school during a basketball tournament.
Order, please. Time allotted for member statements has expired. We'll now move on to oral questions put by members to ministers. The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday, the Minister of Finance began the latest Liberal backtracking on the film tax credit. And no wonder the entire industry is worried that the government will carry out its plan to cut their tax credit. Mr. Speaker, over 2,000 Nova Scotians work in this industry. It is a success story. I'd like to ask the Premier, will he now assure those 2,000 Nova Scotians who work in our film and creative industries that that tax credit will, in fact, be there for them next year?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to tell all members of this House how proud I am of the Minister of Finance and the tremendous work he's done, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, she will table a budget tomorrow, which will send a clear message to Nova Scotians that we are not looking backwards, moving forward, and we're going to put this province on the right track, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his first supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and we can only hope that the Premier is equally proud of the Liberals who wrote the 2013 election platform that he ran on, because, in fact, it promised that the film tax credit and the digital media tax credit would not only be kept, they would be expanded, and that the approval process would be streamlined. And I will table that page from their platform, Mr. Speaker. In other words, the government had promised the industry they would make it easier to access both. I'll ask the Premier, will he keep his election promise and expand and streamline both the digital media tax credit and the film tax credit?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. And again, I want to tell all members of this House the tremendous work the Minister of Finance has been doing. Tomorrow she'll table her budget, Mr. Speaker, and this province will begin to see a government that is focused forward, one that is putting this province on the right financial track, and one that is looking towards long-term, sustainable economy in this province, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, there has been lots of talk about tax increases and program cuts. The best way to put the province back on the proper financial track is actually to support growing industries that create real jobs for Nova Scotians of all ages. Mr. Speaker, that's what the film tax credit does. That's what the digital media tax credit does. I know the Premier is focused on the taxes and the cuts, but why is he not working on proven ways to create jobs, like enhancing the film tax credit and the digital media tax credit?
The Honourable Premier.
Speaker, I'm glad to see that the Leader of the Conservative Party thinks he knows what's in the budget, Mr. Speaker. Tomorrow, the Minister of Finance will table a budget very clearly telling Nova Scotians we're moving in the right direction.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, 2 years ago on the 1st of April, dental care for children under the age of 14 was reinstated and was to grow incrementally to cover children up to the age of 17 years old by 2017. In 2013, the now Premier supported this dental program and committed to its expansion every year. Mr. Speaker, on April 1st, 2014, the program did expand as promised. But, Mr. Speaker, April 1st of this year has come and gone without an expansion in the program and without a word from the government. So my question to the Premier is very simple, Mr. Speaker. Will the Premier tell us if he's going to keep his commitment on dental coverage for children? Yes or no?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to tell the Honourable Member that children under 14 are covered under dental coverage. We're going to continue to provide, moving forward, to providing programs to this province that are sustainable in the long run, Mr. Speaker. I want to congratulate the Minister of Health for the tremendous work he's been doing. We finally have a Minister of Health that is focused on patients for the first time in a very long time, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, every decision we make will be focused on patients.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party on her first supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, Mr. Speaker, we know that children under 14, actually under 15, have coverage, but my point is that the Premier committed to increasing this to the age of 17 incrementally, annually, and there's been no announcement of that incremental increase this year. So I don't know what's worse, Mr. Speaker, denying kids dental care or trying to hide another McNeill government broken promise, Mr. Speaker. So I want to ask the Premier, why would this Premier take away dental coverage for Nova Scotian children?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to remind the Honourable Member this government is taking nothing away from children, Mr. Speaker. We continue to invest in children across this province. As recently as yesterday, I was pleased to stand and make an announcement in public education, ensure the kids get an opportunity, Mr. Speaker, to build an economy, build a job in this province. I'm very proud of the work that this government has been doing. And, Mr. Speaker, it's quite interesting to listen to the Leader of the Democratic Party to stand up at this House and talk about broken promises. Do you remember the HST? Yeah.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party on her final supplementary.
Took off heating? The one we took off heating? Is that what you're talking about?
Thank you very much,
yeah,
Mr. Speaker.
That.
And we'll have lots of opportunity to talk about HST exemptions in the coming days, I'm sure, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I will tell you what's painful. It's listening to the Premier boast over and over about how open and transparent his government is. But, Mr. Speaker, it's just not true. So, Mr. Speaker, would the Premier please explain to parents how cutting a dental program for kids can be kept a secret, and that is not being open and transparent, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, this government has not cut a program when it comes to dental care for young Nova Scotians, and the Leader of the Democratic Party knows that, Mr. Speaker. No matter how many times she repeats this, it simply does not make it true. She's wrong.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, Nova Scotians expect their Premier to keep his promises, including a promise to bring stability and predictability to our democratic process by introducing fixed election dates. In fact, it was reported just over a year ago that the Premier was committed to this at the top of his agenda. And I'll quote directly, Nova Scotia's Premier says his new government is working on a package of reforms. At the top of his agenda is a plan to introduce fixed election dates. Mr. Speaker, the fact is the Premier has committed himself to this over and over again while in opposition. But today we have amendments to the Election Act and there's no fixed election date. I'll ask the Premier, what happened to his promise on fixed election dates?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As the Leader of the Conservative Party indicated, there's a bill before this House that looks at election reform. What we've seen, Mr. Speaker, across the country, we've seen in Alberta where they've ignored the election date. We've seen in Prince Edward Island, Mr. Speaker, where the election date's been ignored. As a matter of fact, his cousins in Ottawa have ignored the election date so many times people lost count. The fact of the matter is, Mr. Speaker, we're going to continue to provide good government to people in Nova Scotia, and I'll be certain to let them know when the next election is.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
You know, Mr. Speaker, we have a lot of questions and answers in the House, but this might be the most bizarre answer I've heard yet, because what the Premier has basically said is he won't bring in a fixed election date law because he does not trust himself to actually keep his own law, Mr. Speaker. That's what he's just said to the House of Assembly here. And here we are, Mr. Speaker, about to go through a budget which the Premier describes as tough, and he's looking for ways to save money. Fact of the matter is, the elections Nova Scotia would need $1,700,000 each and every year without a fixed election date. We could save that money right now if the Premier just kept his promise. If he won't trust himself to keep it, will he at least keep it to save the taxpayers $1,700,000 next year?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not sure where the leader of the Conservative Party gets his math, but it's been quite fuzzy, Mr. Speaker. The fact of the matter is, whatever day the election is going to be, Nova Scotians recognize.
Order, please. The Honourable Premier has the floor.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Mr. Speaker, whenever the election day, Nova Scotians know what it's going to cost, Mr. Speaker, to deliver democracy to the people of this province. We're going to continue to provide them good government. We'll ask them for a new mandate, Mr. Speaker, at the appropriate time, and I'll be certain to let the leader of the Conservative Party know.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Here we are, Mr. Speaker, just one day away from the provincial budget. And, Mr. Speaker, it would be nice if some of the people across the way would listen when I ask my questions. So, Mr. Speaker, the McNeill government has had no meaningful consultation with the creative sector about changes to the film tax credit and how this would affect them greatly by damaging this successful industry. Producer Jeff Dion told the CBC if they're going to change it, they need to understand the ramifications of changing it. And we really don't believe that they do. So I'd like to ask through you, Mr. Speaker, to the Premier to explain why his government isn't listening to industry experts or even to other government members from other provinces who have made the same mistake of either weakening or cutting their tax credits. What does he feel the consequences of changing the film tax credit will actually be to the province of Nova Scotia?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to correct the Honourable Member. The Finance Minister has met with many people in the industry. And, Mr. Speaker, the rest of her question is simply hypothetical. She has no idea what's coming in the budget tomorrow. That's one thing I know for certain.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'm sure that does not exactly sit well with the industry, who are still sitting on pins and needles and concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow. Mr. Speaker, yesterday the Finance Minister told the industry to calm down. Well, isn't that ironic, Mr. Speaker, coming from the Minister who, last November, when the Liberals pulled back their own legislation that would have banned flavored tobacco, said consultation and listening to Nova Scotians is the right thing to do. So, Mr. Speaker, my question for the Minister of Finance if she has suggested that Nova Scotia cannot afford the film tax credit as it currently exists, why does she feel that Nova Scotians who live in our rural districts can afford to lose the jobs in those rural districts that these film tax credits create?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I'm pleased to speak about this issue again today. I spoke yesterday to the Honourable Member and others in the House and said very clearly the budget is coming in tomorrow on April 9th. All of the information will be there for many industries that are waiting to see what the impacts are and the positive things as well that will be in that budget. And I'm afraid because of the nature of budgets, we have to wait till tomorrow. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Minister of Finance. Last year, Nova Scotians expected the McNeill Liberals to keep their promise to reduce departmental spending, first when they said they'd reduce it by 5%, and then also again when they said they'd reduce it by 1% across all departments. They failed to do so in both cases. In fact, departmental spending went up. So now the McNeill Liberals are talking about how tough choices are being made in this budget. Who will it be tough on? Government departments who must reduce spending, or Nova Scotians who must foot the bill?
The Honourable Premier. Oh, the Honourable Minister of Finance. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I appreciate the question. Again, this is the sort of questions we've been having the last little while, Mr. Speaker. A lot of speculation about the budget and really reflecting concerns of people throughout the province who have various interests. And again, I will not be letting the minister or the member opposite know what is in the budget until tomorrow. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Premier has said that Nova Scotians will see their own fingerprints all over this budget. Meanwhile, the government has yet to release the results of their budget consultation process. So when Nova Scotians see the budget tomorrow, they won't actually be able to tell if their comments were actually considered. So my question for the Minister is, why has the Minister of Finance not released her findings from her consultation?
The Honourable Minister of Finance. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the question, and I know that at the consultation session in New Glasgow, the member opposite did attend. I heard from many people at 8 separate public meetings around the province, and the report that summarizes what was heard should be on the website tomorrow. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Pictou West.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. My question through you is to the Minister responsible for Public Service Commission. According to figures released by the Public Service Commissioner, the average government worker used 12.6 sick days in 2013 and 14, costing the government $26 million. That figure is 4 more sick days, approximately a third more, than workers in the private sector. At a time when the government is reviewing priorities to find savings, what factors is the minister considering in his department to reduce $26 million in costs due to sick leave, and will he move forward fairly for all Nova Scotians?
The Honourable Minister of the Public Service Commission.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to start off by thanking all the public servants that work so hard on behalf of all Nova Scotians in this province. Mr. Speaker, I would also like to thank the Department of the Public Service Commission for their hard work on behalf of all public servants, and I would like to thank the department for actually coming up with ways to assist people who require assistance to come to work. And, Mr. Speaker, one of the initiatives that we have is an enhanced EAP program, which helps those that are in need in at critical times to be able to come to work. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Pictou West.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. The Premier has told us that everyone is going to feel pain in tomorrow's budget. The pain for taxpayers could be eased a little bit if the cost of sick days and the civil service was decreased. Nova Scotians are prepared to do their part, but they expect fairness. Will the Minister commit to taking meaningful action to decrease the cost of sick days in the coming year?
The Honourable Minister of the Public Service Commission.
Mr. Speaker, as I stated earlier, we monitor sickness days in the public service, and we actually work towards reducing them. With our EAP program, as we identify employees that require assistance to actually come to work, we support them in doing so. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Hants West.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question will be for the Minister of Community Services. Mr. Speaker, an announcement was made in late October of last year regarding a $52 million investment to affordable housing, a much-needed announcement. Hants West currently has approximately 50 families on the wait list for housing and approximately 50 seniors also waiting. Can the minister tell us when we might see some of that funding put towards getting these people into homes and off the wait list?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
Thank you for the question from the Honourable Member. It was my pleasure to be able to announce that last year, and of course that money came from the deferred federal contributions, which had been amassing up to about $64 million over the last decade. And so $42 million of it actually was dispensed in that announcement last October. We provided 10-year supplements for 300 folks. We were able to leverage that with the private sector, hopefully getting close to 500 rent supplements. The ongoing process is still happening. People who were first on the wait list were encouraged at that time to apply through their Housing Nova Scotia office, and then whatever area had landlords that had housing stock available, they would be able to be moved off the list at that time.
Honourable Member for Hants West.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the Minister for her answer. I wonder, there seems to be a bit of confusion around this announcement on, and the number of, or the amount of uptake. I don't think that landlords appear to be aware that they need to actually apply. We're just learning this in recent weeks, and want to confirm that that is in fact the case. It is up to them to contact government or the Department of Community Service to make application to become part of that program.
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
Communications from Housing Nova Scotia actually went out across the province to many different landlords in the sector, inviting them to make applications so that they would be part of that partnership that we were establishing within Housing Nova Scotia. I was committed at that time, just because there was a rent supplement doesn't mean that I was going to put people into housing options that weren't safe, secure, clean, or substandard. So it was, the onus was on landlords to be able to apply and then come to the table with perhaps meeting us with some of those supplements so that we could increase the number of people to come off the wait list. So yes, they do need to contact our Housing Nova Scotia offices.
The Honourable Member for Sackville-Cobequid.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday in question period, the Minister of Health revealed the main focus of his nowhere to be seen nursing strategy when he said, overall in Nova Scotia, we're at a very good place. We know that we have a question with mobility. Mr. Speaker, it's not about mobility issues. It's about availability of trained, experienced nurses not being available for ICU wards and ERs across the province. Can the minister explain to me how moving nurses around the province is going to quickly solve our problems with a lack of experienced, trained nurses?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And yes, at this point in time of 2015, we can speak about having the most registered nurses in the history of the province. We'll have over 400 graduating this year, and our nursing strategy, in fact, in my view, will be copied across the country once it's revealed.
The Honourable Member for Sackville-Cobequid.
I think I'll probably disagree with that comment, but it's cold comfort, Mr. Speaker, to those patients waiting in the ER because there's a backlog and unable to get onto an ICU bed, for example. Mr. Speaker, this government has spent the last year distracted while experienced nurses across the province retire in large numbers, Mr. Speaker, as a result of the conflict brought on by the McNeill government. Last October, the minister stated that the nursing strategy he's been working on was in a draft form and that it was ready. When it's ready, all our problems will be solved, Mr. Speaker. The minister has done nothing to solve the nursing shortage over the last 7 months. So can the minister explain why he spent 7 months picking fights with nurses rather than solving the problem that have led to the nursing shortage in our province?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday, I took a little time to review some Chronicle Herald articles from 2012, 2013, when, in fact, the member for Sackville-Cobequid was the Minister of Health, and nursing issues were front and center under his time in office.
The Honourable Member for Northside Westmount.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, we all know that this has been a rough winter. The deadline to have studded tires off vehicles is fast approaching, yet the winter conditions don't want to go away. The weather's been cold later than usual in the season, mechanic shops are backed up, and we hear lately that the private contract for highways and roads and plowing is due to expire soon. And storms are continuing to happen, Mr. Speaker. People are getting anxious. We had a similar situation last year. In the coming weeks, Nova Scotians will be unsure as to whether or not they should remove their studded tires or keep them on because of road conditions. So my question is, what steps has the minister taken to ensure driver safety is a top priority?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Obviously, it certainly was, I would agree with the member, it was a challenging winter. When you spend $75 million tax dollars combating the impact of the snow, the ice, the drop in temperatures, the fluctuation, it's been a tough year, Mr. Speaker, but I know that we put all of our efforts into winter maintenance, into communication, into letting people know what's happening. Of course, road safety is a shared responsibility. It was a tough winter, Mr. Speaker, but I do want to take this opportunity to thank our staff. It was a tremendously dangerous season. Mr. Speaker, and they risk their lives and their safety every day and every night, and they work very long hours. So on behalf of Nova Scotians and all members of this House, I want to thank our staff for the work that they did. Thank you very much.
The Honourable Member for Northside Westmount.
Mr. Speaker, last year the Minister extended the deadline for removing studded tires. Given the current state of our roads, and this winter is showing no end in sight, the Minister should extend the deadline again to ensure people choose safety over fear of non-compliance. So my question is, does the minister plan to extend the deadline to have studded tires removed? If so, can he tell Nova Scotian drivers and garage owners when this will happen so they can have peace of mind?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And it is an important question as people get into their summer maintenance for their vehicles. Last year, this question was brought before the floor, and my colleague in Municipal Affairs had the opportunity to look at this policy, look at the situation. I'll be happy to let the member know that minister did change the policy. It now states May 31st as the stud of tire date. So we'll certainly uphold that date, and it will be May 31st this year for all commuters in Nova Scotia. Thank you very much.
The Honourable Member for Colchester, Musquodoboit Valley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question was going to be for the Minister of Economic, Rural Development and Tourism. Thank you. The broadband for rural Nova Scotia project expired, and constituents are certainly calling me about the lack of internet service, and if they do have it, the system is still very slow. My question is, has there been a review of the project to see if the internet needs in rural areas are being met?
The Honourable Minister of Economic and Rural Development and Tourism.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to refer that question to the Minister of Energy.
The Honourable Minister of Energy.
Should I now refer it to Communications Nova Scotia?
You've got 20 seconds.
Mr. Speaker, we remain very concerned for any Nova Scotians that doesn't have access to high-speed internet. The broadband project did come to an end on December 31st of 2014. There's a federal funding that's going to be coming to increase high-speed. We are still talking with the federal government to see if through that funding there is a way to still reach out to those who have not been connected to date.
The Honourable Member for Colchester, Musquodoboit Valley.
So, which minister am I going to be talking to? Anyway, is there a plan for next steps that I can tell people will be coming?
The Honourable Minister of Energy.
Mr. Speaker, again, we remain very concerned, and the fact that any Nova Scotian who wants to have access to high speed and doesn't have access. The initial broadband project was announced in 2006 and was meant to provide 100% coverage. That was a goal which I'm sure was made with the greatest of intentions, but has proven to be near impossible to be able to achieve. Right now, approximately 99% of Nova Scotians who have asked to be connected have been connected. We continue to talk with some of the private companies that are out there about options for having connectivity in hard-to-reach areas. And as well, as I mentioned earlier, we'll continue to work with our federal partners to see if there's any means with the new federal program coming out that could be also an opportunity to reach out to any residents or communities which are not connected. And we'll certainly let the member know the minute we have more information. Thank you.
The Honourable Member, Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in the fall of 2013, the Premier released his election platform, and it states, and I quote, "A Liberal government will maintain all current HST exemptions." A year later, in the fall of 2014, the Premier released his tax review, and it recommends that rebates or exemptions of the HST be eliminated on or be put back on children's clothing, shoes, and diapers. Mr. Speaker, my question for the Premier is this. Will he keep his promise to maintain current HST exemptions, including children's clothing, shoes, and diapers?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to remind the member and all members of this House, the report that was tabled in this House was an independent report at arm's length. Unlike the former government, when they did election boundary commissions, we did not interfere. We actually allowed the people to do their work, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, and I want to tell the honourable member tomorrow the Minister of Finance will table her budget, and I think all Nova Scotians will recognize it's a budget that's looking forward, but one that is looking to put Nova Scotians back to work.
The honourable leader of the New Democratic Party on her final supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in July 2010, the previous government exempted children's clothing, shoes, and diapers from HST to help Nova Scotians with the costs of raising a family. If these HST exemptions are removed, families will pay hundreds of dollars more in taxes on these household essentials. Mr. Speaker, my question to the Premier is, will he assure Nova Scotian families these HST exemptions remain in place?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I look forward to tomorrow, like all Nova Scotians, when the Minister of Finance stands up in this House and notifies all Nova Scotians the changes that have been made in the direction that we're moving this province in. And I'm looking forward to working with Nova Scotians, one end of this province to the other, to put this province on the right track.
The Honourable Member for Inverness.
Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of Justice. Currently, the Department of Justice encourages Nova Scotians there have been a number of instances, Mr. Speaker, in the province this year where seniors have been targeted by people posing as their grandchildren, saying they're in trouble and asking for money. Mr. Speaker, it was only a faulty bank card that saved the Banks family in Annapolis County last month from one of these scams. Can the minister tell us what conversations she has had with law enforcement agencies regarding phone scams, and has she been made aware of any increases in the number of phone scams reported?
The Honourable Minister of Justice.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Appreciate the question. It's not something that's come to my attention recently. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Inverness.
Mr. Speaker, I am aware the Department of Justice encourages Nova Scotians to contact Project Phone Busters, which is run through the federal government and the RCMP. But I do know in Ontario, online, they have a more comprehensive description of the types of phone scams that are out there and providing people with advice on how to avoid them. Can the minister inform us if there are current practices when it comes to alerting Nova Scotians of these scams, and also if there are any new measures being put in place to catch those responsible?
The Honourable Minister of Justice.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Indeed, safety and security of all Nova Scotians is our priority at the Department. We consult extensively with all our stakeholders, including obviously all the police partners, with regards to those issues as well as other safety and security issues. I can certainly get that information for you. There's nothing that is currently in front of me right now that I can provide to you at the moment. Thanks.
The Honourable Member for Northside Westmount.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question is to the Minister of Health. Seniors, caregivers and home care workers across the province are feeling great level of uncertainty over the government's plans for future home care delivery service. The Minister has been unclear about when the RFP would be issued and what sort of impact it may have on the people who rely on home care service. For instance, if the government plans to potentially change the vendor delivering home care services on the government contracts, Nova Scotians and employees need to know the service standards will be in place to ensure the quality of care is unchanged. So my question to the Minister, has the Department consulted stakeholders to develop a standard of care to be included in the request for proposals?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I want to thank the member opposite for a very, very good question. In fact, it's one that would require a lot longer than 45 seconds to answer. But just to get to the heart of the matter here, we've brought in all of the vendors. It was interesting that there were about 60 vendors that are interested in providing either nursing care, home support, or home aid as the RFP is now being developed. And also within the RFP, there will be criteria and accountability that currently is not there at the level that we want to attain.
The Honourable Member for Northside Westmount.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's a very difficult time for family when their loved one can no longer take care of themselves in a way they once could. By leaving questions unanswered, the government is adding to their anxiety. The Department's own report said this publicly funded home care is not available for nearly 40% of the people who are on a waiting list for a nursing home bed. The government is changing their policy on the wait list and shifting those seniors to skyrocketing home care wait list. We still don't know who's going to be providing the care. All of these changes in the government cannot tell Nova Scotians where they result in more service availability for those who need it. So my question to the Minister is, Will more Nova Scotians be able to access home care services as a result of this RFP process?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And I know that the whole goal of going through an RFP and changing the process of providing home care to Nova Scotians, in fact, is to bring both a greater quantity to Nova Scotians, but above all, quality care in the home delivered.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, Nova Scotians have just been through a pretty tough winter. However, in this winter, they've saved hundreds of dollars on their heating bills because of a decision to take the HST off home energy. And although the Premier voted against that policy in the past, in May, he promised to respect that policy if he went into government, telling reporters, and I'll table his talk with reporters, that we will not be putting the HST on home energy. But, Mr. Speaker, today the Premier is not telling us what his position is now. He's refused to comment on keeping the HST on home energy. So my question to the Premier is this. Why has he backed away from his promise to not charge Nova Scotians HST on their home heat?
Oh, my goodness, Mr. Speaker. I'm glad to see, and I'm sure Mr. Gorman is up there glad to see that everyone's reading the stuff that he prints and to remind them what I might have said in the past, Mr. Speaker. We are continuing to move forward, Mr. Speaker. We are going to continue to move forward, Mr. Speaker, provide good government to the people of Nova Scotia, and I would encourage the Honourable Member to come to the House tomorrow. When the Minister of Finance stands up, she will table a budget that all Nova Scotians will want to see, and all Nova Scotians will see one that's moving forward.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I certainly intend to be here tomorrow, and quite a few tomorrows after that, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in May of 2013, the Premier stood in this House. He called for a vote on a resolution to, and I quote, support keeping the provincial portion of the HST off electric bills in Nova Scotia and commit to not putting it back on in the future. However, we know that the McNeill Tax Review recommends doing the exact opposite. Mr. Speaker, so my question for the Premier is this. Can members of this House expect another vote on keeping the HST off home energy in this House anytime soon, Mr. Speaker?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, here we have, this is the we finally have the return of the old NDP, Mr. Speaker. Fear-mongering after fear-mongering, Mr. Speaker. I would encourage the Honourable Member, instead of speculating what's in the budget, to show up tomorrow. The Minister of Finance will be more than happy to tell her what's in the budget, Mr. Speaker, and I'm going to tell you, Nova Scotians will understand this budget is one looking forward, unlike the one that was tabled for 4 years by that party.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
Thank you very much. Lehigh ferry riders like Nova Scotians and other places are facing steep prices at the increases at the hands of this Liberal government. And Lunenburg County citizens have organized protests and petitions to register their concerns. Prior to a recent protest, some of the local organizers made a simple request of the Minister of Service Nova Scotia Municipal Relation. They asked for a community meeting to discuss ferry fee increases. The minister said that he would get back to them. Now, I know this is a transportation question that I should be asking the Minister of Transportation, but maybe I can ask the Minister of Service Nova Scotia whether he can commit today to organizing a meeting or attending a community meeting so that Lehigh ferry users can have their voices heard. And if he can't answer it, maybe the Minister of Transportation can urge the minister to have that meeting.
The Honourable Minister of Service, Nova Scotia.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank my colleague for the question. This past Monday, I attended to the Lehigh Bakery. For those of you who travel rural Nova Scotia, a great place to stop for a cup of coffee and a snack. Where I had the opportunity to meet with organizers of a protest that followed that very same day at 12:45. I had great discussions with those who participated, and I actually attended the protests with those who were present at the very site of the Lehigh Ferry. In my discussions with those individuals, Mr. Speaker, I committed to a meeting in the near future to further address the questions that they've posed.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
Well, thank you very much, and I thank him for that that answer. And according to a news story on CKBW, when asked how negotiable his government rate hike may be, the Minister of Service, Nova Scotia Minister of Relations, said there could be options to explore, and I'll table that document. So my question to the Minister of Transportation, could he please enlighten the House to which of these specific options may be available and which he and the Minister responsible for Service Nova Scotia have explored?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the member for the question. Now, what we've talked about is with respect to the 10 passes and the migration to the annual fee, the annual rate that we have for all of our 7 ferry runs. And what we talked about would be payment options for having that annual rate applied to those who use the service. Obviously, this annual number was based on a percentage and a certain portion of trips that were made on an annual basis by those who live in the area. So we're looking at those options for an annual pass to see what we can do for payments to ease the annual number overall. We're also looking at talking to all stakeholders in those areas where those ferry services are impacting and take place, and we're listening to Nova Scotians, Mr. Speaker. Again, we had to close the cost between had to close that gap between cost and revenue, but we're doing good decisions for the people of Nova Scotia. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Minister for Member for Colchester, Musquodoboit Valley. Who is a minister?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Minister of Community Services. The Minister's Roadmap for Change for Service with Persons with Disabilities was submitted to the Department in June of 2013. The report includes a number of recommendations and goals that the Department will improve service. One of those recommendations is that a moratorium on admissions to rehabilitation centers and large residential facilities go into effect in spring of 2015. Stakeholders have been told that this is going to need to be pushed back another year. What would be the reasons for that pushback?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
Thank you for the question. As I've said many times in the House, I am committed to the roadmap for transformation, but we have to do it in a way that is both respectful and responsible. Quite simply, the date was pushed back because the communities were not ready with the service providers to provide the absolute acute and necessary provisions of care in the community right now. It takes a long time to deconstruct one system while you're building up another, and so I'm not going to not have people go into rehabilitation centers and get the required services that they need because simply they may not be available in the community of their choice right now. So it just was responsible to move that back. I also committed that there would be no new construction of any rehabilitation rooms or beds within this province, and I am committed to that.
The Honourable Member for Colchester, Musquodoboit Valley.
And thank you for that explanation. The advisory group who designed the roadmap had a positive vision for persons living with disabilities in the province. In order to make that vision a reality, certainly we need to make some progress. Could you provide a status update on the recommendations made in that report?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services. Yeah.
I know that both my senior staff within the Disability Support Program have been still working with the Advisory Council, and there will be updates that come at different time frames, and I'd be happy to provide the member with that.
The Honourable Member for Queens, Shelburne.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question is to the Minister of TIR. Mr. Speaker, yesterday when asked about the new unfair tax hikes on our provincial ferries, the minister gave an answer that shocked people who use these vital links on a daily basis. The minister told the House that the McNeill government didn't hike ferries taxes, and I quote, "only obvious alternative is to end the service altogether," end quote. Mr. Speaker, Nova Scotians use these ferries to go to work, visit relatives, and to get the medical appointments every single day. My question, does the minister stand by his statement of yesterday that if the McNeill government didn't hike ferry taxes more than 160% in some cases, the only obvious alternative is to end the service altogether?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The reality is that we're spending over $9 million per year, taxpayers, all taxpayers, including those who use the services, to cost to operate these ferries, Mr. Speaker, while collecting just over $1 million in revenue. We have to make tough decisions. There's tough choices to be had, and we're going to have the courage to make those decisions, Mr. Speaker. At the end of the day, we looked at what we could do to close the gap on the cost versus revenue. The reality is that when you look at the number of the subsidy, if you had to close that gap in other ways, you would have to look at the services and what you provide in those areas. We've talked to all the representatives from those respective communities. They've all shown leadership on the fact that their communities want those ferries to stay put, Mr. Speaker. We're not impacting services. We had to impact the cost, and therefore that's the way we made it fair for all Nova Scotians, and we stand by that decision.
The Honourable Member for Queen's Shelburne.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. What we're receiving, we're beginning to get a clear picture of how this government intends to deal with rural communities. The Minister of Community Service thinks it's okay to remove child care services. The Minister of Natural Resources thinks it's okay to remove welcome faces from our provincial parks. The Minister of Economic and Out-Migration thinks it's okay to eliminate rural tourism jobs. Mr. Speaker, after watching his cabinet colleagues eliminate rural jobs and child services, does the Minister of TIR think it's okay to pile on these major transportation tax hikes?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Mr. Speaker, again, these decisions were made to cut the gap between the cost and the revenue for these services. We understand the importance in the community. That's why we're protecting those services, Mr. Speaker. We're not removing them. These were choices that were tough but necessary, Mr. Speaker. The reality is that for 4 years, there was no leadership on the tough issues and on the questions facing this province. We have brought leadership to this House, Mr. Speaker, and we'll stand by for the people of Nova Scotia.
Thank you very much.
The Honourable Member for Kings North.
Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of ERDT. It is crucial that the province's offering of economic development programming is operating at full capacity. Speaking about the Invest Nova Scotia Board at the Economic Development Committee meeting in February, the Deputy Minister of ERDT said the area of how they could support economic development is this big. They're going to have to figure it out of what are the most strategic areas, and they're doing that analysis now, and I'll table that comment. My question for the Minister is this. Has the Invest Nova Scotia Board informed you of the strategic areas that they will be focusing on, and will the results of their analysis be made public?
The Honourable Minister of Economic and Rural Development.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The fact is that the Invest Nova Scotia Board, as a new board, has been mandated by the government to, on behalf of the people of Nova Scotia, make some strategic investments for sector-wide type developments in this province. They are now working through the process of identifying the specific areas that they wish to focus on. That work is ongoing, and as soon as that work is finalized, we'll be more than happy to share the results of those discussions.
The Honourable Member for Kings North.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to thank the Minister for that answer. It has been indicated that the Board will not have its own staff, but will be relying on ERDT staff. Additionally, it has been indicated that the Board will have a budget to hire consultants to conduct research. To date, Mr. Speaker, I wish to ask the question. To date, how much has the Board relied on ERDT staff, and has it hired any consultants to conduct economic research to inform its future funding decisions?
The Honourable Minister of Economic Development.
Speaker, the Board has been using economic and rural development staff in order to discuss some of its priorities, some of the sectors that they wish to focus on. One of the other important areas has been on board governance and how the board should conduct itself going forward to ensure the most transparency and accountability takes place in all of their decisions. To date, I'm not aware of any consultants that they would have used. This is a board that is still in its infancy, and we certainly look forward to seeing some projects being put forward before the board and having them making decisions on investing money on behalf of Nova Scotians, which is arm's length and independent of government, something that was uncommon in this government under previous administrations.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. My question will be sort of on the same line of economic development and on internet service in rural Nova Scotia. I've been getting a lot of calls and petitions and a lot of information, especially from my constituency through Argyle, Barrington, through the East Pubnico, Woods Harbour, Cape Island areas, starting to get some calls as well from the Yarmouth area, those people that are in the Richfield and the backsides of Yarmouth County that do have to rely on the wireless internet service. So my question to the Minister of ERDT, beyond waiting for the federal government program to completely understand what it is, are there any other steps that the department maybe could take to urge EastLink Internet Service to provide a better service to citizens?
The Honourable Minister of Economic Development.
Well, Mr. Speaker, as I've said many times, as the member is aware, the broadband project was first launched in 2006. In fact, I believe he was a minister of the government that launched that service. There was a request for proposals that went out, and the government of the day had decided to award part of those contracts to EastLink to service the area which he represents. That contract did expire in the December of 2014. Mr. Speaker, the monies under that contract were provided to EastLink by previous administrations. It is a private company, and therefore government is very limited in what it can do to force any private company to do something in Nova Scotia.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that answer, but we know that there was millions of dollars of taxpayers' dollars that ended up into this program that did provide, I thought, was a relatively cross Nova Scotia service, whether it was through EastLink in southwest Nova Scotia or southern Nova Scotia, or whether it was Seaside in Cape Breton, but quite or northern Nova Scotia in Cape Breton. But I can definitely hear the differences between the members that I have in our caucus that are under the other system versus the one under our system. So, if there's a way that government can urge them along, can provide them with a little bit of funding to make this happen, whether it even is to buy back the tower so that local communities can own it, I think would be a benefit. We even have people at this point that are wanting to they're actually signing petitions that they'll actually quit their service at the end of a certain date. So my request to the minister is whether he could work hard with EastLink Internet Service or as government to really push down on those providers in Nova Scotia.
The Honourable Minister of Economic Development.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank
you. Order, please. Time allotted for oral questions put by members to ministers has expired. We'll now move on to opposition business. The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Can you call Bill number 73?
We'll now call Bill number 73, the Freedom of Information Act. The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pleased to rise today on second reading of Bill 73, Amendments to the Freedom of Information and Protection of Privacy Act. This bill requires the government and other public bodies to notify a person whose personal information has or may have been compromised. Mr. Speaker, this is a bill that is short on words, just 72 in total, but long on protection of Nova Scotians. Most